This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the 1912 Exiles podcast, the Newport County podcast made by the fans for the fans. I'm your host, Jamie. Today I'm back in the hot seat. And we've got a great panel lined up for you today. Like all good teams, we're always looking for new talent. So today making his panel debut on the podcast is Arnie. Arnie, welcome to 1912 Exiles. How are you doing?
Thanks very much. You know, absolute privilege to be here.
Oh, it's a privilege to have you here. And every team needs a strong bench. And stepping off that, Ollie makes a welcome return. Ollie, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Jamie. You're too kind.
And there's always room for an old stager. He's calling himself. Ian, how are you doing, Ian?
I'm very well. Yeah, good to be back on the pod and good to see you all.
Excellent, excellent. Right, before we get stuck into the games, just want to thank our many listeners who have actually contributed a few pennies through our Ko-fi account over recent weeks. It really is really greatly appreciated. It really helps with our running costs. And if you do want to chip in with a few quid and a comment, there's a link in the show notes. If you can't, that's absolutely fine. Just help us promote, share, retweet, whatever. Leave us a review if you do like what we do, that is. Okay. It's been a roller coaster week for Newport County fans. Now, midweek, we had a chastening experience at Notts County where, let's be honest, yeah, we were lucky to get nil. That was compounded by yet another injury. Seabury went off and suffered a broken leg. It looked quite horrific, actually. Or that's what it sounded like. But yesterday, saw a battling performance at Gillingham. There was a shift in formation, no serious injuries that we're aware of. A clean sheet, a Bogle double, a great away win. That is the life of a football fan, ups and downs. Now, before we get into all that, let's take our minds back to Tuesday evening. Notts County away. Arnie, very kindly, one of the intrepid supporters travelling up on a Tuesday night, supplied us with a match diary. So here, let's throw to the clip.
Evening all, it's Arnie here as your roving reporter tonight from Nottingham. Good trip up, real classy sort of autumnal day, so perfect conditions for football I think tonight. We've headed towards the ground, some really interesting observations to make really. So just standing on the kind of bridge over the River Trent, for floodlight watch, for any fanatics around floodlights, you can actually see three sets of floodlights from that bridge. So we've got Notts County, Nottingham Forest and Trent Bridge. And another observation is that the traffic seems to move much faster up here, and you've got to be very careful when you're crossing the road.
So we've nipped into the Embankment for a pint, having had one in the oldest inn in England, in the old trip to Jerusalem. But didn't need to go very far and managed to bump into an old friend of the podcast, who's Dan. So just going to ask Dan for his observations, particularly just having seen the team get released. So over to you, Dan. What do you think about the team that we've picked?
I think after what's happened in the last couple of days with Swindon and obviously Warsaw Friday, I think he's made the right decision to bring Townsend back in. And with the stopping mistakes Drysdale's made, Sebri back in, with his youth, it's a worry, but he's shown raw potential where Drysdale has possibly he's let us down. I don't want to say that, but he has let us down. He's not been quite deserving of his place and with his fitness. So hopefully Josh Sebri tonight can play a good performance. We got Omar up front with Will. I'm very positive tonight. I think with Notts County's recent form, we can get a performance tonight, and we can take a point from here.
Okay, thanks, Dan. I definitely think there's goals in the game. I'm going to go for a bit of a slightly duller than last time around, but we're going, a bit of a dull 3-2 away win for the county. I'm going Will Evans, me and the farmer, is going Bogle as well, a Bogle brace, and we're going to go 3 up just after half time and hang on in there to get the result. We're going to head over towards the ground in a minute. Really looking forward to this, and we'll see you on the far side. Okay, so we're just getting to the ground, and I've bumped into a good mate of mine who's Tony, who's one of the kind of stewards here, and he's got some predictions for the ground for the game tonight.
Tonight's prediction will be Notts County 2, Newport County 0.
All right, he hoisted his trousers up, I would say, just to give us that one. We disagree, obviously, comprehensively. Obviously, we're going for a Newport County away win, but we'll see him inside. The guys are on good form outside here, so looking forward to the game. Thanks all. So we've reached the away end, and I've bumped into Ben, who's going to do our kind of traditional review of the local catering. So, Ben, what's the pie like?
It's really tasty. Got meant to be beef and onion. It's really good, yeah. It's a bit expensive, but it's worth it.
All right, and what's the crust like?
Really crispy, really nice. It's easy to swallow. It's not hard. It's really good, yeah.
All right, well, there we have it. So it sounds like it's a big thumbs up for the pie from Ben. We just got staff's buses have arrived, so we'll see you later, guys. Okay, so we've made it into the ground. Initial impressions, this is a really proper old-school football ground here. They've been playing here since about 1910. It's enclosed with good-sized stands on all four sides, still open at the corners, which I always think makes for a really interesting game because you get a bit of wind blowing about. Your classic for the floodlight watchers, four stanchions in the corners, none of this mucking about with stuff on the front of the stands. It's light at every corner. Looks really good. Pitch is in really good nick. There was loads and loads of rain about. You could see it when we were travelling up here today. There was water everywhere, but pitch looks really good. County looking really up for it as they warm up. Really looking forward to this. Definitely got a bit of a Dave Doubledex radio local character on the PA system, so we're going to try and avoid him. Definitely going for a big win for the county here. 3-2 away is my prediction. We're going Will Evans and a Bogle double. Final thing to say, looks a bit thin on the ground, both from home fans and also hardcore from county away. So I reckon we'll probably end up with a couple of hundred. Interesting to see what the away support is, but definitely a bit thin on the ground. And really, really pleased to see McColdrick not available for him tonight after having 5 yellow cards. He's suspended. He's been someone that's contributed a lot for him this season already. Really glad to see that he's not in the team. Spoke to a couple of supporters from Notts County. They were a bit apprehensive. They don't quite know what they're going to get from their side, even though they're flying high in League 2 in second position at the moment. Just absolutely anything could happen here, really. So on lineup, as Dan said earlier, I think it was pretty inevitable that we'd see Nick Townsend back in goal. That felt like an experiment that didn't work. So I think it's really important that we get some stability there over the next few weeks, months.
let the keeper kind of know that he's the number one and get on with it. I think we'll play the same formation that we played last week. It's going to be minimum change just with Drysdale dropping to the bench to get Seabury on this. I think we've been really impressed by Seabury this year. We'll just see how we go. From one perspective, it's really good to see consistency at the back and also about shape, because that means that we haven't picked up any more injuries. Still a little bit disappointing, I suppose, that we haven't got a few more people back off that injury list, off the physio's couch. But, good. I think we're really strong tonight. Really pleased to see a couple of people missing for them, particularly David McGoldrick, who didn't do us any favours in the FA Cup last year when he was playing at Derby. So even though he's probably a bit long in the tooth, I think he's obviously doing a job at this level. So really good to see that he's not in their lineup tonight, not available for them. So, over we go. Guys just finishing up their warm-up. And we look ready to go for quarter to eight. See you later, fellas. So we're 20 minutes in. Initial impressions, it's pretty well balanced. But Jones is looking a threat down the left side. I think we're going to need to get some help for Payne playing at right back, because all the threat from Notts County has come down that left side. And if we don't do something about that, I think we're going to pay for it. So there we are. First goal conceded, 24 minutes. Just a bit too easy. Went past Bryn Morris, worked a bit of space and got the shot away from him in the box and really gave Nick Townsend no chance at all. Okay, so game on for us now. Going to be a tough challenge to get back into this. And just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, looks like a bad one for Seabury. They called the stretcher on. Looked in trouble as soon as he went to the ground. Didn't need another problem at the back. But that looks like what we've got. So it's going to be Seabury off by the look of it, and Drysdale, I reckon, coming on. So we're 35 minutes in. Notts County have just scored again. Just a bit too soft. Open at the back. Could be a really long evening at this rate. Let's just try and get into half-time, I reckon, for a 2-0 regroup. See where we go from there. But really struggling at the moment. Really struggling to get any kind of pressure on the game. So, bit of a tough first half. Prediction of a 3-2 away win. Still on, but looking a bit hopeful. A little bit of despondency in the concourses of the stand here. Pie was all right. I went for the veggie one, but the meat ones had run out, so Pigeon wasn't very happy. And we'll go for classic cliches number one, that the next goal is going to be all important. Upper County. There we go. Same story again. Exposed down our right side, down their left side. Left Payne on his own. Too easy. Got around the outside of him. Just crossed it across. And finish from the 6-yard box. Nick Townsend, no chance. We got to wake up a little bit around giving a bit of protection to people wide out. Bad day at Blackrock, Upper County. Okay, so there we have it. Thoughts on the final whistle. The third goal really killed us off. If we thought we had any hope before that, well, that was really the end of it. Mr. Shakespeare, the referee, didn't really do us any favours by ruling out the goal from Omar, which looked perfectly good from our perspective. Obviously, the injury to Seabury is really worrying. Don't need to say we can't afford any injuries, particularly in those kind of centre-half positions. And Drysdale looked a bit kind of flaky when he did get on the pitch. It was a bit funny, really. So Cocco, after the Swindon game, said that he thought that we looked outclassed. I didn't really see that, but I certainly saw it today. We looked really vulnerable down the sides. They looked really comfortable on the ball in just about every part of the pitch. And even though we huffed and puffed a fair bit, didn't really make a lot of very clear-cut chances. So big shout-out to the 198
hardcore exiles that made the trip. But yeah, not a lot to shout about. I definitely need a pint. So yeah, I'm off to the old Jerusalem to go and drown my sorrows. And yeah, let's move on. Gillingham on Saturday, which is going to be no easy task either. All right, that's Arnie signing off. Keep it county.
So, Arnie, thanks for that. Reflecting back, what were your thoughts after that game initially? I know it's a few days ago now, but you know, you've had a bit of time to reflect. Yeah, what were your immediate thoughts? And then what are you thinking now, particularly with the Gillingham game in mind as well?
So thoroughly enjoyed the trip. Hadn't been to Nottingham for a while. So yeah, really enjoyed it, other than kind of for the hour and a half or so in the middle of it, where we were kind of really comprehensively outplayed. Felt like we got the formation wrong, set up with a back four, which left us pretty vulnerable, I think, to some of their strengths, you know, particularly down their left and our right side. I think we left Lewis Payne pretty exposed, and it felt like we were a bit slow to react to that. And I guess the kind of stand back thing was, could have been a whole lot worse. 3-0 definitely didn't flatter them. I think, you know, we got out fairly lightly, really. And I think that could have been even more damaging if the scoreline had been heavier than it was. Obviously, we were all really disappointed and saddened to see, you know, another injury. You know, Josh Seabury has been, I think, really beginning to establish himself in the side. So it was a bit of a real cruel time for him to pick up that kind of nasty injury where it looks like he's going to be out for 4 or 5 months. I guess my reflections, particularly after the Gillingham result yesterday, definitely picked the wrong away game to go to. bit of a feeling that maybe I just should stop going altogether, because I was looking back at the kind of fixture list in the kitchen this morning, and the last time I actually saw us win was Sutton United on the 26th of August, and that's despite having been to quite a lot of games in the meantime. So yeah, I'm going to need to pick my away games a little bit more carefully. But you know, big shout out to the exiles who made that tough trip midweek, and particularly those guys who then kind of got back on the bus again yesterday, and really, really good that we got a much better result at Gillingham.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm always in awe of you guys going to the aways every, you know, week in, week out. So yeah, it's a real commitment, and particularly a season like this season, it's even more of a commitment, isn't it? Yeah, you mentioned like we're getting the formation wrong. Now, before we'll come on to the Gillingham game, obviously, but Ollie, were those your thoughts as well in terms of like that back four just not, you know, we just seem, I don't know, all at sea at times, don't we?
Yeah, to echo some of the points that Arnie made, I feel like it's quite telling of an away day when the highlight of it is going to explore the city that the match is played in and not the match itself. But I feel like we didn't really get anything right, rather than what we did yesterday against Gillingham. The formation was off. I think we was a little bit lazy, not just as a result of being overworked in training, or if there's other factors behind it, a bit of fatigue setting in, but you could just sense that there was a little bit of a drop off, especially compared to other away days, where even if we had lost, we put in a bit more of a concrete performance. But Tuesday felt like a real blip. I think most fans were expecting us to lose, and it was a case of by how many. 3-0 is probably flattering to us, considering how many chances that Notts had, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the top three come May.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think the same, to be honest. I think they are a strong outfit, and it's no shame in losing to a team like that. Yeah, I feel like it. A lot of these performances feel quite energy zapping. You know, I think, you know, we mentioned like this, you know, maybe overtraining, overworked, or, you know, whatever the reason for the injuries, it just feels like they're such draining performances, you know. watched bits of the egg chasing yesterday, and those kind of games feel like, real, like a battle, real sort of like you're exhausted by the end of it. But of course, we've got to pick ourselves up and go and play on a Tuesday night and travel hundreds of miles as well.
Yeah, it was just picking up on that point a bit as well, where the Notts County game, when you're really then trying to chase the game a little bit, it felt like the options off the bench were pretty limited, and it was more really around protecting some of your kind of most prized assets than it was around trying to get back into the game. So it was pretty telling that the people that we pulled off there were Will Evans, Omar Bogle, and then Scott Bennett. It didn't feel like they were changes that were made for positives. It was really around protecting them and trying to keep a little bit of energy in their legs, ready to go again on Saturday at a point when he might otherwise have thrown a bit of caution to the wind.
That's a really interesting point. Yeah, because we're just so thin at the back, aren't we? Ian, you were following that game on Tuesday night. What were your reflections?
Yeah, it was quite painful watching on from afar. I didn't enjoy doing the social medias that night. There was not much I could inject that other than a bit of Shelley poetry to keep everyone amused. But it was chastening. Notts looked, they looked a very good outfit, but I also think we helped them look a very good outfit. And it's interesting, isn't it, on the, touching on the injury side of things, which is something I've been sort of musing on a little bit. Obviously, I think if we look at our possession stats, we're not a possession side this year, are we? So, we're sort of 30-35% possession in most games we play. That means we're doing a hell of a lot of running, a hell of a lot of trying to close things down. Coughlin's made big sort of, claims about the fact that he works and really hard in training. Now, I'm not saying that's a cause of injuries, but if you're fatigued and you're constantly running, that does lead to potentially difficulties around muscle, particularly around muscle pulls. It's not nothing to do with Josh Eber's injury, it's something different. But all the sort of muscle pull stuff we have, is that related to the fact that we don't play a possession game, but we're working incredibly hard in training? Is it just bad luck? Is it the fact that we've got, a very small budget, so we've had to buy players that have got a bit of, glass knees and things like that? So it could be a combination of all three of those. But I do wonder if the amount of effort that we have to put in to attempt to, stop other teams playing, does that have an effect? Is sort of my query, really.
Yeah, I feel like there must be something there, right? There must be something in that. It does feel like we just need a bit of respite. We need a midweek off or something, don't we? Just to kind of like gather our collective energies back.
Yeah, it probably feels like a combination of all those things. It's the intensity of the game that we're trying to play, that small squad, which means that you get less amounts of recovery time. And I think, we all see players who are playing with niggles, and you always run the risk of aggravating those, getting them to turn into something that's worse than when people are starting out in the game. So definitely feels like a combination of all those things. And, we will really need to have a think about that, I think, when it comes to playing in cup games this week, around how much effort we want to put into those and how much risk you want to put on kind of redlining those, the players who are absolutely critical to us.
Yeah. And also, like, that obviously we're really, stretched thin at the moment, using a lot of players, a lot of youngsters as well coming in. Are we perhaps asking too much of them, to sort of play in the way that we're asking? Or is this just like, a fact of, fact of the matter of a thin League Two squad?
I was a little bit worried for Payne after Tuesday, because he was taken off. He probably should have either been taken off earlier, or we should have changed our formation and given him some help. And I was a bit worried for him, but it was good to see him. He did come on again, didn't he, on at Gillingham? So that's good to see. He hasn't just been sort of put in a car somewhere. They brought him back on. But in terms of the youngsters, I think the change in formation, which I'm sure we'll come on to after the Gillingham game, Bonswell, that was his best game that I think I've seen him play for us, potentially because of the change in formation. So, putting players in the right place, it's not rocket science, is it? Putting a left wing back and actually a left footed wing back and actually playing him as a left footed wing back has got to help a young player who won't have a huge amount of experience of that versatility that, you know, we've had to ask players to show for us. But if we can actually play them in the positions that they're used to, that's got to help as well, hasn't it? And as we'll probably talk about Scott Bennett, or the Bennebauer, who's is he's now being called, then, you know, he will potentially have made a big difference to some of the young players around him. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think, so, I mean, final points really on Notts County. You know, Ed, on the pod has always been saying, you know, it was a really tough October, that set of fixtures, tough run of games. I've kind of like come to accept that, you know, we're going to lose those, you know, a lot of those kind of games. And maybe it's just, you know, after a few exciting seasons, you know, we're coming back to that sort of more pragmatic, you know, approach to a League Two football season, where we're going to have a lot of like turgid stuff we're going to have to sit through before we get to the good stuff. But hey, yeah, we live and learn. But now we get to talk about Chittingham, which is fantastic. Now, Ian, you were on the Chittingham pod, and you predicted a win. Ollie made the long trip down to Kent. So let's have a listen to Ollie's match diary.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. My name is Ollie, and I am bringing you today's match day diary. You join me in a fairly sunny but fairly chilly Chittingham. I am stood outside the away end of Priestfield Stadium, and as away ends go, it's certainly unique. As you can picture, a construction site with plenty of scaffolding and a few more tubes onto it, and you've got something close to what I'm looking at right in front of me. But I have been reliably informed that we are not in the shaky construction end, and we are in something that's probably more constructionally sound. In terms of the atmosphere here, you might be able to hear in the background there is plenty of good music. A good turnout from the County fans today, and hopefully this weather holds up. In terms of lineup, we reverted to a 5-3-2 with most, if not all, of the fit centre half starting for us. Declan Drysdale, Ryan Delaney, and Matt Baker making up our back three. Shane McLaughlin on the right, Matty Bonswell on the left, all in front of Nick Townsend. A midfield three of Bryn Morris, Scott Bennett, and Aaron Wildig. And then up top, Omar Bogle and Will Evans. Initial thoughts going into this game, I'd be happy with a point, but we hope for more. You never know with County. I'm full of optimism, and that may be due to the fact that I'm also slightly filled with cider. But we will get into this match, and I will give you updates as they come. So the Chittingham away mascot has just wandered through the away end. It's certainly an interesting mascot. Based off the Chittingham badge, it is a horse who looks very sombre. I'm not sure if that's got any correlation with the fact that this is the selected fixture for Chittingham for Remembrance Day, or if he's being carted off to somewhere a bit more sinister. But the atmosphere in the stadium is quite nice. We are under a sheltered away stand, so we are not at the hands of the gods in terms of the weather conditions. Plenty of County fans filtering into the away end, and it promises to be a good match. So we're into the opening minutes here at Priestfield Stadium, and one fairly interesting tactical observation. Scratch what I said about the back three a few seconds ago. The back three now consists of Ryan Delaney, Declan Drysdale, and Scott Bennett, with Matt Baker playing in the midfield in a holding position. Atmosphere so far has been good. We're a little 3 over minutes into the match. Come on, County. That's about 3 chances we've just squandered, scoring towards a random end. A multitude of our players trying to stick it in the back of the net, all 3 unsuccessful. We're about coming up to the 15-minute mark here. It's been a little bit back and forth, but So we're still hunting that first goal to break the deadlock. And it's a penalty for Newport County down towards the line of end. Omar Bogle running through on goal, brought down in the box. No hesitation from the referee. County fans flock into the front of the away end. Here we go. Omar Bogle starting his run up. And it's a goal! Newport County 1-0. Omar Bogle slots it into the bottom left corner. As cool as you would like. 1-0 to the county. Coming up to the 20th minute. Well, you're not going to believe it. We've got a second penalty down towards the Raynham end. Same end as we scored about 4 minutes ago. Player running into the box. Player running into the box. Matty Bonswell shoved to the ground. Referee, no sooner than he gave the first penalty, given the second one, and it's Omar Bogle with the ball once again to double the lead for Newport County. And what a game it has been this first 25 minutes. A little bit half and half early on. We get the penalty 5 minutes ago, we score that 1-0. No sooner as I've come back from the toilets, we've got a second. There is a whistle. Bogle starts to run up. 2-0! Omar Bogle, this one flops it into the bottom right corner. Sends your way in into rapture at the close. 2-0 to Newport County after 26 minutes. And there we have it, the conclusion of the first half. Newport County 2, Gillingham 0. Both goals courtesy of Omar Bogle penalties, coming in the 20th and 25th minute. Two observations from that first half. Compared to previous games, we've definitely been playing a lot more compact. The defensive line is definitely playing a lot more closer to the attackers. We've got a bit more of a prominent midfield, so gears are starting to turn a little bit quicker and a little bit more effectively. As well as that, Will Evans is playing a bit of an interesting position. He's not really got a defined role as such, more occupying a space more to the right than the centres we've seen in previous matches. Omar Bogle definitely being the focal point of this side. Will Evans playing out, more dropped back into a midfield almost, reminiscent of a 4-5-1, but the 45 minutes that you can't complain about. 2-0 up, both goals coming from penalties, and hopefully we can see this out and get the 3 points. Players are making their way back out onto the pitch, ready to start the second half. Looks like an unchanged side for us, worked well in the first half, so hopefully more of the same. Little under 10 minutes played in this second half, and it's mostly gone the way of Gillingham. We've had one or two chances. Evans almost got a third goal, but mostly it's gone the way of Gillingham. They've been pressuring us with shots, keeping it firmly in our half, and the tide feels like it is turning a little bit, but there is still a large portion of this half to go to knock out the other stands. First change of the match for us being made in the 63rd minute. Kevin Rye coming on for Will Evans, who's taken a little bit of a knock. He's been hobbling around for the last 5 or so minutes, so he will make way to Kevin Rye coming on, and hopefully Kevin Rye can bag a goal. Second sub for us. Payne coming on for Declan Drysdale. who's had probably a better performance in some of his previous cameos. Looked a little bit shaky this half, but he's held up well. I still don't feel like he's a hunter back from that injury, but he's put in a good shift today, making way for Payne, who's been pretty good so far. He's not put a foot wrong for me this season, so hopefully hold up at the back as well. Here's one for fans of the tactics truck. Since the introduction of Lewis Payne, he's now been playing right back, right wing back I should say, which has allowed Shane McLaughlin to move up into the midfield at the expense for Matt Baker dropping back into the free centre back. So a little bit of rotation. Interesting to see McLaughlin finally in the midfield, where a lot of people think his best position also should be an interesting little watch. If my math is correct, that's our third and final sub for the day. Aaron Wildig brought off for James Waite. Wildig's played an absolute blinder today, pressing machine, really grafted out, creative outlet once again. But Waite definitely has something to offer. 6 minutes left on the clock. It's been a pretty good second half. We mentioned at the start of the half, Gillingham might be looking to turn the tide, and to an extent they have, but not as much as they would like to, and I think we start to get back into this game a little bit more. So last 5 minutes, we'll see where we are at the end. And there we have it, full time ends. Gillingham 0, Newport County 2. A really comprehensive performance for the Exiles today. 2 goals both coming courtesy of Omar Bogle, penalties in the first half.
So, Ollie, easy this away game stuff, isn't it? You've had a pretty decent run of away games this season.
Well, I checked it this morning and I'm 2 for 6 at the moment, so that's 33%. And I'm certainly higher than yours and probably definitely higher than Ian's away win percentage. But
I'm not sure I've done that in about 43 years, Ollie, to be honest.
I take 2 from 6 as well.
But no, similarly to not, it's brilliant to get to explore the city of Gillingham or town, whichever one it is. Beautiful place, nice stadium. We wasn't seated in the slightly shaky construction looking away end. We was under a roof, and I think it's probably needed with the conditions, but the performance we had yesterday was night and day to what we played on Tuesday night. I think, obviously, we've talked about the formation change, playing the three centre-backs yesterday as opposed to two on Tuesday night definitely helped out with the defensive duties. Scott Bennett looked like he had played that position all season. Bonswell and McLaughlin, both excellent in attacking and defensive transitions. And yeah, there's, for all the negatives that we had Tuesday, I think we had everything right yesterday.
So let's talk about Bennett playing in that back three, because he used to, you know, sit in that back three in recent seasons, and then I think it was kind of the problem was, you know, that lack of pace really that sort of was his undoing. Now, I haven't seen the game yesterday, so I'm relying on you guys to tell me all about it, but like, was that ever a problem, or were we sitting a little bit deeper to sort of counteract that?
I don't think it was ever a problem, and I know Scott Bennett has a few flaws when you consider what criteria you want in a centre-back. Obviously, the lack of pace, and he is a little bit on the shorter side. But I think the sort of job that Coughlin has given to the centre-backs is essentially sit back, absorb pressure. If you get the ball, booted away, and that's what Ryan Delaney does excellently. We just sort of let the opposition have the ball, and when they need it, they just throw their body on the line, get in the way of the shot, and sort of get the ball out of the box, so it allows the wing backs, the midfield, and the strikers to sort of play football and try and hit teams on the counter. So I don't think it's going to be an issue playing Scott Bennett there in the future. I am curious of whether this is a longer term plan, sort of reminiscent of Matty Dolan, who dropped back into that centre defensive role and had a blinder for a season, or if this is more of just a stopgap whilst a few of the centre backs are coming back to full fitness.
I feel, yeah, in my mind, it feels like a stopgap solution, but it's a good one to have up your sleeve. And I think it probably helps now that we have like a midfield or two, because I think before we couldn't really take him out of midfield because we were light in midfield as well, weren't we? So, Ian, Arnie, your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, so I mean, that was the absolute critical thing. And I think it was one of the areas where the gaffer has really shown his worth this week. So I think we probably all thought that we needed, particularly after the game at Notts County, that we needed to do a bit of a change of formation. But I reckon most of us in the tactics truck would have seen the obvious choice to have been to drop Country Files Matt Baker back in there. He was the obvious choice. And then left, you know, the midfield pretty much as it was, with Bennett in a bit more of a holding role. You know, the Cocker was has clearly kind of chosen to do it differently. And I guess that's why we're kind of amateur observers from the tactics truck, and he's the man in the dugout, where it just looks like an absolute masterstroke to have put Benno in there, both from the contribution that he actually made personally, but also in kind of brigading the troops there, a bit of an old head talking people through the game. So I think a kind of massive influence that that he brought to things. I mean, the other thing that's interesting as well, Cocker kind of stuck to his guns a little bit. So I think particularly after a damaging result Tuesday night, could have gone for something kind of ultra defensive, gone one up top, pack midfield, pack the defence. And he didn't do that. He still stuck with pretty well playing two frontline attacking players. And that kind of paid dividends for us. But I think, you know, just a masterstroke to put Bennett into that three centre-halves formation and not just go with the obvious choice. And it really benefited us yesterday.
I didn't realise it at the time because I thought, well, yeah, Baker will drop back. I was desperately hoping we would go. Even though I'm not a fan of 3-5-2 as a general football thing, we had to play that for me on Saturday. And I was really glad that he made that shift, because, you know, is it because he's been a little bit stubborn up to now, Cocker, or is it the fact that we just haven't had the personnel on the pitch to do it? And it was really good, I said earlier on, that he put a left-footed player at wing back and a right-footed player at right wing back. You know, that's not rocket science, but he did it, which I'm glad to see. And I thought afterwards, the reason I don't think he maybe put Baker back is obviously Baker's also very inexperienced, isn't he? So if you put Baker, Delaney and Drysdale as a back three, that could get a bit jittery, right? So I was thinking, actually, Baker's got probably more legs than Benno. Stick him in the middle. Stick him in midfield, and then Bennett can drop back and use, as you said, Arnie, use his experience. And I think that it was really clear to me that the organising he was doing, the talking to both his centre-back pairings, but also to Morris and to Baker in front of him, those shielding too. He was sort of pulling everyone together, wasn't he? And I think that, you know, I think I put on the socials, you know, he wasn't wearing a captain's armband, but that was a captain's performance. You know, it really was, I think. Thing. So the Bennebauer, here we go.
Just one more point I wanted to touch on yesterday in terms of tactics. I did mention it in the Matt's diary, was when we brought on Lewis Payne for Declan Drysdale, how we sort of rotated a bit, and it meant McLaughlin could go into the midfield, Payne went over to the right, and Matt Baker dropped back into the three centre-halves. And I think it's really interesting sort of coming round to the idea of maybe experimenting a little bit more with certain players in certain formations, and I know we sort of deviate away from Ian's love of putting square pegs in square holes, but I think it does sort of open us up to potential sort of versatility that we've seen in previous years, where we can have one set of 11 players who can play three or four different sort of formations and tactics. So I think it's good to see Copland sort of embracing having a plan B and a plan C, as well as trying to get a defined plan A on board.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And, you know, after Bennett Bauer, we've got some total football. We've got some Dutch total football coming in as well. I don't know who Cruyff is in this weird metaphor, but no, I think the flexibility is really good to have, particularly when situations like this, when our back's up against the wall. I did have a question about width, because when we played this diamond, I've always worried that we're playing quite narrow and through the middle of the park. Obviously, move into a back three and then the two wing backs. I don't know if anyone could tell me, were we a much wider, spreading the play a little bit more? Were our wing backs really getting on the touch lines?
I think we played okay. I think there was more width yesterday, and I think both of them shuttled up and down the sides well, I thought. Bonswell was in the box for the penalty, wasn't he? It was the softest penalty you're ever going to see. If I was a Gillingham fan, I wouldn't be happy with that. But he was the guy who was brought down in the box. So he was getting up right up there, and he was also covering his, covering his side as well. And McLaughlin's got a good cross on him, I think. And I think he was putting a few good balls in. So it's not it's not pure winger territory, but I think they were getting up and down the flanks much better than we've seen previously.
Are we feeling a bit more confident after the Gillingham result that, we've got something, a bit of metal in this side. We've got a bit of bite. We've got a bit of fight back. I think after the Notts County game, I was thinking, that big reset, what we were discussing, but obviously not. We Cocker stuck to his guns. I thought we might be just setting up to make ourselves really, really hard to beat, and trying to get a counter and stuff. But it sounds like we're sticking to our principles a little bit more. I for one am a little bit more optimistic about it. But Arnie, first of all, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, he might have really kind of hunkered down and gone ultra defensive and just tried to grind out a point. Certainly didn't do that yesterday. And it does feel, I think there was also, it felt like he'd kind of read the riot act to the dressing room a little bit. He was obviously really disappointed with the performance on Tuesday night, and that's not something that he's done much before. I think he came out and said in some of the press stuff that he's really kind of taken the hit, I guess, and come in for a fair chunk of criticism, which feels pretty unreasonable and unjustified at times. So I think it does sound like he read the riot act a bit. Team did really step up, and I think we're all just hoping that the thing that we're really clinging on to is that that we get over that run of injuries, because it probably feels at the moment like the physio's room is busier than Greg's at the service station on a Saturday lunchtime. Just must be kind of people just queuing up everywhere to get on the physio's couch. So I think that's kind of what we're clinging on to. And the other thing not to lose sight of yesterday, you need some luck in these games, and it did feel like we had the rub of the green a bit. So Nick Townsend made some really good saves. They hit the bar and missed chances at critical times of the game. Particularly just before half time, they had a couple of really good chances, which they didn't convert. And as Ian's just said there, it felt like the second penalty in particular was a really, really soft one. We'd have been kind of massively disappointed if that had been given against us. But then you take it, you get swings and roundabouts. Mm. So we take it and move on. I reckon we could probably do without the cup games, as I said, kind of coming up now. We could do it trying to build a bit of momentum on the back of getting a good result. But yeah, we'll just take any points we can get at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Ian, obviously, we sort of mentioned that, in previous pods, Cochrane has come under a little bit of pressure. And obviously, you know, we've got the impending takeover as well. What are your gut instincts? What are your thoughts? Like, obviously, we've had a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde week. But yeah, I mean, is Coco at risk, or is it not even a conversation yet?
I don't think it should be a conversation, and I don't think he should be at risk. I was just thinking, you know, if we'd have lost at Gillingham, then the start of our season looks very similar to what happened to Robbery last year. And I was thinking to myself that, you know, when Robbery went last year, I remember saying, I really hope that we don't have a situation where we're in October next season, we have a sticky start, and we then throw another manager out. We're having to reinvent again. So, you know, it has been a tough start, but I think we all knew it was going to be quite a tricky season. And I think that I was a bit worried after the Notts game. We were pretty toothless that day, but you know, we've turned it around at Gillingham and put in, you know, a good performance. And for me, Coco's not at risk. The thing I would say, and I've been wondering about this, reflecting on real life affecting football. So the place where I work, we're under difficulty at the minute, changes afoot, you know, talk of redundancies, all this sort of stuff. And lots of us have been through stuff like this. The players and the manager at Newport know that change is going to come, don't they? Now, change can have a really destabilizing effect on culture, on organizations, on values within organizations. Now, we've got no idea what's being said or done behind the scenes. We don't know what role Hugh Jenkins is taking, what he's looking at, what his thoughts are. But if we've got a mixed bag, haven't we, of young players and older players, many of whom will be thinking, ooh, you know, they could be thinking, what does it mean for me? I've just moved to Newport. We've got a new guy coming in. What does that mean for me? Now, you can galvanise that and get it right, but it could be having a bit of a destabilising effect. And it's just to, you know, just to sort of throw that out there as a little bit in the background, that sort of cultural change is something that we shouldn't forget about, that it can be difficult for people to handle that sort of change that's going on. But for me, no, Coughlin stays where he is. We go through the process. We see where we are at Christmas, and then Jenkins is going to have his view, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Ollie, what's your gut instinct on Coco?
I think he's done a pretty good job of navigating choppy waters. It's sort of a similar situation to when he came in about a year ago. We was sort of languishing at the bottom half. It was up to him and Joe Dunst to sort of galvanise the team and to ensure that the worst isn't going to happen. And I think it's very much a case of that again. I do feel for Coughlin, because it's sort of been the perfect storm of bad situations for him. We've had a tough month. We've got countless injuries. Obviously, the off-field stuff, the takeover, isn't going to help with sort of his confidence and his job security. So I think he's doing a great job with what he's got. And I think as we go through November and December and into the new year, we'll start to see a bit more defensive solidity with the likes of Jameson and Clark coming back. We'll see more creativity with the likes of Adam Lewis and Harry Charlesley returning to the fold. And we can finally get to see what Zanzala brings to the mix, providing his glass knees hold up. So I don't think it should be a conversation that he gets sacked, and I don't think there's any managers out there currently who could do a better job than what Coughlin has done and what he's got at his disposal at current.
I think Ollie's spot on there. I think, you know, Coughlin's come under kind of ridiculous level of criticism. It feels like, you know, he's been dealt a really tough hand in terms of the budget, the injuries, all those things that are kind of really well rehearsed. And genuinely, I just don't know who could do a better job than him. And I don't see why you would ever want to change without knowing whether there's a kind of a better alternative out there. We got to accept we'll get good periods, we'll get bad periods, good results, bad results. And, you know, not overreact when we get a few more of those coming along in the near future, because, you know, there will be times when we're on the wrong end of a bad result or a bad run. But, you know, genuinely, I can't see anybody that could do a better job. The only thing that I kind of really worry about really is that it feels like he's used to being really in control of just about everything on and off the pitch. And, you know, I worry a little bit whether Hugh Jenkins will want more say in terms of players that are brought in, kind of the kind of areas where Cocker has kind of really been pretty autonomous on that. So, yeah, I think there's a little bit of stuff for us to navigate there, but it feels like, you know, he's absolutely the right man for the job. I just can't see who would do it better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think, yeah, it is the levels of criticism have been ridiculous in the situation he's been put under. And yeah, I think yesterday's game just goes to show, you know, we still have a team who will sort of fight for that manager, fight for yeah, that cause. So, but yeah, this sort of brings me to my sort of final point really about, you know, the next couple of months coming up for Christmas. Like, I don't really want to aim for like a particular number of points or like, oh, it'd be great to get 3 or 4 wins or whatever. I just feel like we just need to continue showing this this sort of desire, really, this fight, and then we'll get to January and hopefully then we'll be able to bring in some new players or our injured players will return. Ian, very quickly, what are your thoughts over the next few months or leading up to Christmas? What do you think we need? Or,
well, you know, we're only 8 points off the playoffs, aren't we? So, you know, always look forward. I mean, you know, we had a tough October. We've got an unbelievably tough November in terms of, you know, I'm not worried about the West Ham game. I'd like us to really have a go at Oldham because a cup run is good. You know, we haven't got a Tuesday night game there. So, but then we've got Franchise FC at home, who unfortunately started to pick up some form, haven't they? You know, then we've got Mansfield away. That's going to be unbelievably tough. Then we've got Stockport at home. That's going to be unbelievably tough. And then we've got Morecambe away on a Tuesday night, and they're doing all right. So that's a tricky November, isn't it? So, you know, how we pick up points in that is going to be tough, I think. So I think, like Arnie was saying, we might have to weather a bit of a storm, and then hopefully we can start picking up some more games. Because in December, I think we've got to go to Tranmere, and then obviously we've got Forest Green Boxing Day. So we've got to play some of the teams that are more around us. So I think we just got to be steady away. You know, if we could get another 7 points, 8 points, something like that before Christmas, that'll put us on 25, wouldn't it? If we need 50 to stay up, that's halfway there, and we should have our injuries coming back, and we should be able to strengthen a bit in January. So if we could get to sort of 25 points by Christmas, that'd be great.
Yeah, Ollie, do you look ahead and try and figure out where the wins are coming, or are you more of a take each game as it comes kind of guy?
I think after this week, there's no real way to sort of plan out where the wins are going to come, unless you're Ian and you just predict every game to be a win. No, I'm very similar to you, Jamie. I don't think I've got a points total in mind. I feel as long as we are above the bottom two and we're still showing a level of fight and a level of determination in the manager, I think, with the players coming back, with possible reinforcements in January, it's more about morale rather than points at the moment for me. So keeping out the bottom two, keeping our heads above the water and just reminding ourselves that on our day we have more than enough quality, more than enough experience in our manager and more than enough sort of credentials to stay within this league.
So, yeah, Arnie, what are your thoughts over the next couple of months then? Where are you hoping to see us by the time Christmas comes around?
So no specific targets for me in terms of points. It's really about keeping our head above water, getting those players off the physio's couch. I think kind of making sure that we beat those teams that are around us at the bottom of the table there in the dogfight. And then I think anything else that you can pick up is a real bonus from the teams higher up the divisions. And I think there's a really good example yesterday to get that result at Gillingham. And I guess just remember that, yeah, a bit of an analogy, but you haven't got to outrun the bear. You've just got to be quicker than somebody else that he's chasing. So just, you know, we haven't got to be brilliant this year. We've just got to try and keep our heads above those two bottom places.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it, isn't it? I think it feels like we're sort of maybe coming back because of the situation we've sort of found ourselves in, we're coming back to the whole, you know, walk before you can run. Let's get the basics right. Let's make ourselves hard to beat. And then let's just get enough points to survive. That's what it feels like for me. All right. Well, it's time for player of the pod. I'm going to start with... Let's start with Arnie because you were there on Tuesday night. So, yeah, you're player of the pod this week.
So if I can have two, I would probably...
You could have as many as you like.
But to Coco to start off with, I think, two bits. Firstly, you know, on the back of a really tough defeat on Tuesday night, and also, you know, the draw against Walsall, where it felt like it was... It felt like a loss rather than a draw. I think, firstly... kind of what he did to manage to pick the players up to get them firing again on Saturday yesterday at Gillingham. There's a huge kind of bit of expertise that goes into that, knowing the best way to pick players up. And then I think the kind of the tactical masterstroke to go with Bennett at the back when there were probably alternative options if you were going to go to a back three. So I think that was brilliant. Scott Bennett, Bennett Bauer, is he going to nickname him there? Then I think, you know, he was absolutely awesome yesterday. I'm a big fan of Bennett. I think, you know, no coincidence that a string of managers, whether that's Flinney, Robrey, or now Coco, I know he's one of the first people on the team sheet by the look of it, for all of those speaks volumes for him. So I think he had just an immense game yesterday, influencing the people around him. And then my last one was is kind of Omar yesterday. So, you know, he comes in for his fair share of criticism, even from the county fans. Obviously, the kind of incident after the first goal, nobody wants to see that. You know, I think you know, massive mental strength from him to step up and then take the second penalty. You know, at the same end. In front of kind of a whole load of baying home supporters, I guess, particularly on the back of that being a decision that looked really soft, but to stand up there and have the bottle and the skill to stick away the second penalty, that was massive for me. So a huge shout out to Omar for that.
Is Arnie the first person who's given player of the pod to the manager? He could be.
A bit of originality.
The problem is, if we get any more injuries, Coughlin might have to become player of the pod.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're all dusting our boots off, aren't we? We're probably going to get the call up any minute now. But yeah, I'm actually going to just jump in with my player of the pod, actually, because mine is going to be Omar as well. Yeah, the incident referring to, if people haven't seen it, yeah, the racist abuse aimed at Bogle from one Gillingham fan. Look, it's 2023. Come on. It's ridiculous. Let's do better than that. We're better than that, guys. I know it's one person, but one person is too much. But yeah, Omar, I love the guy. I think he puts up with so much, but he keeps powering on and he keeps getting in the goals as well. And yeah, to have that sort of temperament and to have that calmness to take two penalties in space of what, 5 minutes, and big penalties in the sort of outlook of our season as well. So yeah, that's my player of the pod. Ollie.
I'm going to go with a bit of an outside shout here, but I do think it's a player who has had a bit of a torrid sign this season, but is starting to earn his place, and that's Matty Bonds. Well, we've seen on countless occasions, see McLaughlin playing in that left wing back role and Bonswell just being relegated to the bench, but he came in for a cameo on Tuesday night against Notts and played as well as he could, given the opposition. And I think yesterday's the best game we've seen him play. He's not had the most minutes, but he's really working hard when he gets his chances and sort of trying to build the case to Cockman to maybe become a regular fixture in the squad, especially with Adam Lewis coming back in the near future. So yeah, I think Bonswell is a player who probably deserves a bit more praise than he's getting, and he might be just going under a few people's radars.
Yeah, really good point, actually. Yeah, we've got a lot of these like youngsters coming through, and obviously they're coming here to have a bit of game time. They come on loan from the Premier League sides, and quite often, you know, we don't expect too much. We kind of hope for a little bit of, like, you know, something from them. But yeah, he's coming on nicely. I agree with you, Ian.
Well, it was going to be the Bogle, but everyone's already given the Bogle a lot of praise. So I can't give him any more. Well, I will say it was quite funny on Tuesday night when I was on the socials. People were saying, you know, we were getting walloped to people saying, like, it's Bogle's fault. I'm like, hang on a minute. I think the problem's at the other end. Do you know what I mean? you know, and we think that him and Evans, they've got 17 goals between them, I think, in the league now this season. So, you know, if we can keep the back door shut, we're all right, aren't we? So, but it's going to have to be the Bennebauer, isn't it? It's going to have to be the Bennebauer. He's player of the pod this week. I can't take credit for that name, by the way. Friend of the pod, Stu Blairinho. He nicked him. He nicknamed him that. So, you know, I didn't think he was going to be playing at centre back, but he played an absolute masterstroke. And he, the organisation that he put and the communication that he was doing yesterday, he had one of his, you know, we always say he gives like a 7 out of 10, don't he? You know, he's the onion in the curry, as we always call him. Tell you what, he was the onion, he was the rice, he was everything in the curry on Saturday. He was all the flavour, he did everything. So 10 out of 10 performance, captain's performance, it was brilliant. The Bennebauer.
Amazing. Yeah. Let's stick with you, Ian, for shout-outs and beefs.
Right, shout-out. This is a bit of an unusual one. I'm going with the Notts winger who gave Payne a terrible time. And the only reason I'm doing that is because those of you who've listened to this long enough know that I love a winger. So you'll often hear me going on about Kevin Moore back in the 80s who played for us. I love a winger. Chalk on the boots, down the touchline, panicking the fullback, getting the balls in. You know, they're a bit of a dying sort of thing, isn't there, wingers, with all the sort of funky formations that people have now. Wingers are sort of a bit of a dying art. But to see one, unfortunately, it was against us, but to see one turning it on, sticking to that touchline, roasting the fullback and creating all sorts of chaos, I like to see wingers. So, you know, my shout-out is to wingers, and I'm going to give a shout-out to that guy in particular. Okay. Beef, we've touched on it, but, you know, we don't want to see racism in any shape, form, or form in any club, in any society. So, you know, and it was really good to see, you know, the fact that that's one individual. You know, I spoke on the Gillingham pod before, and I spoke to on a different pod of theirs last year. You know, all of their fans came out and, you know, appalled by it as well. So, it's just, you know, it's been roundly condemned, which is absolutely as it should be. You know, we, as supporters, we've got to drive that out of any club that it exists in and drive it out of society. So, you know, that's a beef. But it is good to see every, you know, the quick, you know, quickly arrested, quickly banned, and fans unanimously turning around and condemning that.
Let's move to Ollie for your shouts and beefs.
My shout out is a bit of a shared shout out alongside friend of the pod, Stuart Blair. Blairinho, as he's lovingly known on Twitter. It's the decision to have the match clock count injury time, not just the 45 minutes of the half. And I know it sounds like a very simple thing, and it might be simple things, please simple people, but to see actually how many minutes are left of the half and to know sort of, especially at the end of the match when the 2-0 up and there's a few attacks going in and they're holding on and you go minute and a half left, minute left, 30 seconds left. It just builds that extra atmosphere. I think it's probably one of the few changes that's been made of recent that I've actually enjoyed. And then my beef, now that I'm actually doing away days with the county, I get to experience the joys of service stations and there are some crackers out there so far, but the one thing you can't escape from, no matter how good a service station is how insanely priced a bottle of water can be at £2.85. So, yeah, that's probably my big beef of the week is service station prices.
Great shout out on beef.
Yeah, that's fantastic. yeah, and also the clock counting injury time. Yeah, I think we're going to have a new generation of football fans who will not be able to like you know, because you always had to build up that internal clock yourselves, didn't you? You had to like figure out, oh, it's probably been about 3 minutes now. And, you know, you got quite good at it after a while. But now fans are just going to be relying on the actual clock itself. So, yeah, it's a good thing, though. I agree. Arnie, have you got any shares?
Yeah, so on that one, it's kind of jumping on the bandwagon a little bit here. So clocks, I noticed they still didn't do it in the Wales versus Croatia game. They still kind of stopped the clock at 90 minutes. So straight away, you become very used to and very reliant on kind of having the technology there to help us. So come on, UEFA, you need to up your game as well. There was a bit around general beefs with catering managers. So at Notts County on Tuesday night, I think it's an absolute heinous crime to run out of meat pies. You know, they're only catering for about 200 fans, but they managed to run out of those. So that wasn't great. And I was on the back of last time I spoke to Ian, we were down at Crawley and absolutely sweltering down there, and running out of water is probably a pretty should be a sackable offence as well. I mean, the shout outs. Yeah, on the back of a really unsavoury incident yesterday, I thought the response from Gillingham as a football club has been fantastic on that. You know, really kind of decisive action that they've taken there, both in terms of banning the individual for life, but also kind of the supporters as well, who really stepped in. I guess the beef with that is around stewards that don't do it. You know, they're there to do a particular job. I guess it's not particularly easy, but there was obviously somebody that was way out of line there, and the stewards just kind of turned a little bit of a blind eye to it and left it to the home supporters to police that particular incident. So big shout out to the supporters and Gillingham, and come on, stewards, let's do your job properly at times.
You're right. It can't be easy, but yeah, it shouldn't be left down to fans to have to call that out, really, should it? All right. We've got a couple of cup games coming up. And obviously this panel is wavering on interests and whether we want them or not. I know that. But yeah, and we've already mentioned as well the tough run of fixtures in November. It doesn't get easier, but you know, we're gonna take each game as it comes, aren't we? We're gonna try and get as much as we can out of each game. It just remains me really to thank firstly Tinty and the Bucket Hats for our theme tune. But also to Ollie and Arnie for their contributions today and their match day diaries. Yeah, really appreciate it. Thank you both for joining.
All right, absolute pleasure.
It's regular, that absolute pleasure. Thank you for bestowing us with the opportunity.
No problem at all. And Ian, as always, thanks for coming as well.
No worries.
Right, we'll be back soon with a pod. There are rumours of the return of Jack. So hold on to your hats, everyone. But until then, look after yourselves, look after each other, and as always, keep it counting.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.